Morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome Golden Living this morning. There's 13 of you over there, along with some of our people. God bless you, and also the others who are joining. I can't get this thing. I feel like I got a giant Borg or something on my face right here. We're getting one final step to get a smaller mic. It'll be coming soon. A few announcements. Brooke Taylor got runner-up best athlete at Manitani this week. So when you see her, congratulate her on that. And Abby just returned back from Flaming Pine Bible Camp in Minnesota. She spent the week with Jalen. A lot of you know Jalen there. Congratulate her on her many bug bites. Minnesota mosquitoes have an attitude. It's a very busy summer. There's a lot of people gone today. There's also a lot of visitors here today, and we would like to welcome you. And, boy, I could hear myself really good with this. You know that? I'm going to wear one of these around the house, then everybody will listen to me finally. Tonight, come back. I have a really special lesson. Raise your hand if you're a Superman fan. Okay. All right. What is wrong with you people? I'm going to have a fun sermon tonight, Jesus, the Original Man of Steel. And I'm going to take the movie that, if you haven't gone to see the movie, try to go see it if you want. If you're not into movies, then ask somebody who did. It's a pretty good movie, and I'm going to make the comparisons of what we in the world know as Superman and really what a real superhero is in Jesus Christ. So try to come back tonight at 5:30. This morning, I want to cover a lesson called the 2013 Independence Day lesson. This week we celebrated Independence Day. If you're like most people in the country, if they're asked, they had surveys, what does it mean to you, 4th of July? And a lot of people say fireworks. They automatically associate that with that day. Grilling burgers. One guy said, I get a day off. I'm glad it fell on a weekday. Well, a growing number of people in our country are becoming more and more ignorant of Independence Day and the meaning thereof. I'm going to share with you some survey information. In an adult survey by Newsweek in 2011, 6% of adults in our country could not circle Independence Day on a calendar. 6%. And by the way, this was registered voters. 2010 Marist poll indicated that 26% of U.S. citizens did not even know that we declared independence from Britain. 26%. In a 2011 survey, ABC survey of American teenagers, okay, now pay attention. You think you're smarter than a fifth grader? We'll see. 14% of them thought we declared our independence from France. And another 5% said we broke away from the tyranny of Canada. Wow. 15% of the same teenagers did not know the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th, 1776. Another 9% thought that day was the ratification of the Constitution. Like, these are like high school students. And that occurred 13 years later. 17% of American teenagers do not know there was 13 original colonies. When you look at these numbers, it means that more than 5 million teenagers in our country do not even understand the meaning of Independence Day. As the youth goes, so goes the nation. Now, I would like, now here's an interesting thing. In a 2011 Newsweek poll, 38% of Americans fail the naturalization test, the same one that Francis took to become a U.S. citizen, 38% failed. And they estimate that 31% of Congress could not pass that test. Of Congress. Wow. Do you really trust them to handle immigration? Now, I would like to take a brief educational trip back 237 years ago to a location about 100 miles east from Camp Hill. The date was July 4, 1776, and the location was the Pennsylvania State House, now referred to as Independence Hall. Representatives from the 13 colonies were sick of the out-of-control attitude of King George III of England, not France, England. And they wrote down a list of indictments against him in an effort to declare their independence from Britain. They said, "We've had enough." These 27 indictments listed against King George are categorized into three categories. Indictments 1 through 12. Charged the king with instituting tyrannical government in place of representative government. Indictments 13 through 22 charged the king with combining with others to subjecting the colonies to legislation without consent nor representation, inclusive to overtaxing, having to house foreign troops, restriction on free trade, and the right to have a fair trial by jury. They were upset about that. And indictments 23 through 27 charged the king with actions of war, the killing and kidnapping of citizens, hauling them away to their kangaroo courts in Britain, destruction of private property, and forced military service for Britain. For the delegates who signed that declaration against the most powerful kingdom in the world, that was an intimidating moment of time. It was a dangerous thing. It most certainly would mean war with Britain. And they were the most powerful nation on the planet at that time. Ben Franklin, the oldest member of the delegates at the time, as he went to sign that document, which was going to be published and sent out for all the colonies to see, we're independent, we're not going to be told what Britain is trying to make us do. Ben Franklin proudly said, "We must hang together, gentlemen, else we shall most assuredly hang separately." This was a brave moment in American history when we declared our independence from Britain. This is the history that America is fast forgetting. Our forefathers laid it on the line so we could have freedom from a tyrant named King George III and his cronies. The scariest thing of all, though, is that as to why they were willing to take such bold action, that part is being forgotten, and that's affecting us tremendously in our country. This is found in the opening page before they go to the 27 indictments. Listen to what the foremost founding document of our country in the Declaration, what Thomas Jefferson penned. Based on, quote, the laws of nature and of nature's God, they were compelled to separate. They held those truths to be, quote, self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, that they are to certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They were quoting Sir William Blackstone's commentary, The Laws of Nature and of Nature's God, from 1647, which is the basis of English law. They looked at that commentary and they said, our rights come from God. They have to be God-given rights. We're human beings. The Creator created humans with certain rights that are attached to the very DNA that God put in their biology. Furthermore, the Creator endowed unalienable rights upon the created, that's you, me, everyone. these founding fathers felt King George III was in direct violation to the laws of God, period. They were saying, we're humans, just like you're humans over there. Everybody is a human being, and that we have certain rights that God intended for us. King George had stifled their lives, taken their liberties, and destroyed their natural pursuit of happiness in God. The core reason they mustered up the strength to even write that document and to have those 56 men sign that document on that day was very clear from the beginning. I am made in the likeness and image of God. He made me with purpose and reason in my life. That was their fundamental belief in the Creator. And further emphasized in the closing of your founding document for our nation, it said, quote, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions and also with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Now, let all your atheist friends who say separation of church and state, let them know what you read. When I grew up, I didn't grow up in a religious home, but we had a copy of the Declaration of Independence right in our hallway. I grew up memorizing those things. One of the signs of a fall of a civilization is when they become less patriotic, when they stop believing in the government of their country. These men who signed this document on that day, only 100 miles from here, actually it's 103 miles from this location, I believe, they stopped believing in a British government. And they set out to orchestrate a government based on the laws of nature and of nature's God. They hinged the pursuit of this liberty where most of them would die broke or dead, have their families killed. Very few emerged who signed that document. Because when you sign that document, you've basically signed your death warrant in British eyes. It was a brave thing they did, but they could do it because they based it on God, on what God gave us. They believed that the supreme judge of the world would protect them through divine providence, and they were right. The lesson for today is this. 237 years later, Americans are growing more and more ignorant of our country's history. The human race is naturally forgetful of lessons from the past. It happened through the history of Israel in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. Jews were to remember the Passover, that they were slaves in Egypt, Deuteronomy 5:15, but they did not. Psalm 106 verse 7, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. They were to remember God called them out to live for him, Deuteronomy 10:15. Yet they did not. Nehemiah 9:17 says they refused to listen and did not remember. In the time of the judges, they were constantly enslaved to enemy governments because of that, because they were not remembering what God commanded them. Judges 8:34, thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They just put it out. They forgot their foundation of who they are. And if you take the foundation out from under the people, you change the people in a way you don't want to go. All the way until when Babylon was destroyed in 586 BC, the Jews forgot their roots in God. Isaiah 5:13 states, therefore my people go into exile due to their lack of knowledge. George Orwell would quote 1984, those who control the present control the past. And those who control the past control the future. When a nation forgets their God connection in their history, that nation will falter. David said in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Yes, even in a religious nation, they can become a nation of fools if they forget where they came from. Israel forgot their God and became a nation of fools. They perished due to not retaining that knowledge. Hosea 4:6. America broke away from the British government for reasons based on God. The creation, creator perspective, which they anchored their rights. The very civil liberties of our Declaration of Independence and Constitution are based on a creator-created relationship, as once recognized in the core of our nation. In the shadow of the Independence Hall is the Liberty Bell. If you've never been, I think I got a picture of it there. Right behind it is Independence Hall. Written on that Liberty Bell, which was hanging in Independence Hall at that time, they didn't ring it on that day. They only rang it for state meetings, but they did ring it constantly in Philadelphia. On that bell is written Leviticus 25, verse 10. In the shadow of Independence Hall, it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." It was about freedom. It was hanging in that clock tower. They knew that freedoms must be based on God, because if they're not based on God, where are they based? They're based in man, and man has a horrible history of taking people's rights away. This is why the first words of the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, states this: "Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, as long as the Creator would be recognized as the core of our nation, then our rights would remain intact." This is why George Washington said at the closing of his farewell address in 1796, he recognized that. There were people back then saying, well, I think, you know, maybe there were some people there, separation of church and state, even way back then. Here's what Washington said: "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us caution, indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded, the influence of refined education on the minds of a peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can exist in the exclusion of religious principle." He was so clear on that. He was saying, we cannot get rid of our core. This is who we are. Our rights as Americans are based on this presupposition that we get our rights from God. We get our rights from God. We as a nation of creatures tied our liberties to a creator. And this is the beauty that occurred on July 4th, 1776. Where were you on that day? Did you stop and thank God for the mere fact that you can meet here openly for worship and not in some catacomb with people hunting you? It was based on that very thing. It was anchored. Your freedom of religion. The indictments against King George III in Britain was what they declared to be freed from. But the reason was for our Creator. Over the last few decades, there have been a vicious assault against this principle. Our public schools, our universities, the media have made their own Declaration of Independence against God. They have ridiculed people who hold these truths to be self-evident through their love for sin and hate for God. Paul described these types in Romans 1 verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." I don't care who you are, for you to say you see no evidence of creation, you have to deny your very reflection in the mirror. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Peter warned of a time in the last days in 2 Peter 3, 3-5, when mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and they're going to mock the very evidence of the Creator. Friends, fellows, and countrymen, we are here now. This is the first generation in the history of the world where apparently the majority of the people don't even believe there was a creator. And that's scary. Because if there's no creator, we're based on survival of the fittest. And I don't want my rights hinged to a man. Except if that man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Little do they understand when they're fleeing from the creator who endowed them with those rights, they're in essence turning that authority over to man. Our rights come from God or man. If there is one thing we have to be reminded of this week in this nation, that we have a war against God. Men, ungodly men, God haters have declared independence from God. And you must point out the contradiction in the Declaration of Independence. Just if you have to go back and just memorize those lines from the Declaration of Independence, it'll take you 15 minutes. Memorize them. And when somebody talks about my rights, say, wow, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you realize what the founding fathers were thinking? The very reason they had boldness to write that document is they were undergirded. They believed they were undergirded by a creator, and they were the created, and they got their rights from them. And we wanted a country, they said, that anchors not in a king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what they were thinking. We know that for a fact. That's what it says. Is the situation helpless and hopeless? Not at all. Is there anything we can do in the meantime? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, that's you, that's me, we clean up our own house, and then we add rooms on and capture the world. If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You see, you may not be out there teaching evolution, but you have to be out there standing against it. Years ago, in the 80s, when I was growing up, see, all you before the 80s, see, the 80s is really the center point of all mankind, I think. But when they were assaulting this in high school, when they were teaching me I evolved from an ape, how'd that go? Could you hear that at Golden Living? I didn't evolve from an ape, but we didn't see the danger of it. We turned our eyes, just let them say what they want to say. And now they have kids and they have kids. The generation that is born today, if we don't start saying something today, you're going to wake up and some man or some oligarchy is going to decide what your rights are. That's where you're headed. They're aiming right for the church. Right now, the religious world, they have a bullseye painted on the church. They're going to be asking colleges like Harding and others when they impose gay marriage on it, because, well, that's acceptable in a world, but they're going to be asking them for gay student housing and then take away their tax-exempt status and then taking away your ability to get a student loan or a grant because, oh, you're a bigot. And then if you believe that you don't come from apes, they're going to say, well, you don't have a brain. You can't think. You don't understand. Your brain is too small. And then later on, like they did in Nazi countries, in communistic countries, eventually, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, you don't meet the species standards, and they're going to wipe you out. You better say something. You better do something. You better start crying out, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and my rights are anchored in here, and warning them. Warning them. Do you want to go there? Do you want to end up at survival of the fittest? I don't think anybody wants to be there. We have to repent from our neglect of the truth. We must teach the history of our nation. We must educate others to where the real liberty comes from. We must have communication of education for liberation. We must teach the ultimate liberty. And this is the highest form of liberty of all. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. The ultimate freedom is if we will just go out and preach the gospel. Let's just forget talk about Declaration of Independence by man's standards. Let's talk about God's standards. God wants us to declare our independence from the world. He wants us to declare our dependence on Him. If we preach that message, if Jesus Christ gets the heart of a man or a woman, and you multiply that, the problem's fixed. Because they cannot become saved. Do you know it's impossible for you to be saved if you don't believe there's a Creator? You can't be saved. That's what Romans 1 says. So why not just bypass that, turn their heart over to God, evangelize them. Oh, and if they don't believe there's a Creator, okay, educate them. But you lead them to Christ and teach them to teach others also. In one generation, just one generation, we could turn this around. But it has to start with you. So I've given you a message. Your rights, they come from God. The founding fathers recognize that. That's what we should be celebrating on the 4th of July. Go ahead. Have your fireworks. Have your hot dogs and hamburgers. Wear your red, white, and blue. But you better be thinking crimson red. Because our rights do come from God. And you use those rights wisely. Think about that while we stand and sing.